Well, here we are for the juice. Man, I thought last week was a good episode. I wanted to continue that momentum into today's episode with some the very good special guest, Cal Klezmit. He will be on in just a couple of minutes, actually. It's a Victory Tuesday after the Packers dismantled the depleted Falcons secondary. Aaron Rodgers took him to town. Bobby Tonyan had a career night. And it was fun to watch, I gotta say. This team, they could really be something special. But I'm not gonna talk a whole lot about the Packers because, everyone knows that I'm a Packer fan. Everyone knows I'm a diehard. And I just think that, there's other things that need to be talked about in the sports world besides the Packers, who I talk about all the time at school with my friends. So, we're gonna get into a few things. We're gonna get into Steve Levy, who was the Monday Night Football announcer. I gotta tell you how greasy he was. He's gonna be like the Ty Summers, except, he's not wearing the Packer uniform. And then we'll talk a little bit about Matt LaFleur and Carson Wentz. Yes, Carson Wentz. Should be a good show.
It's another one. I got that juice, juice. New AP. She got that juice, juice, juice. She got that squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. She got that wet, wet. I'm on them skis. I got that drip, drip. I'm overseas. D-R-I.
This episode is brought to you by the Nina Pump and Munch. Nina Pump and Munch will fill you up. Thanks for coming. Man, I gotta say that's the best gas station in the Fox Valley, I think, hands down. Screw Quick Trip. Their propane exchange prices are way too high. Their gas prices, I feel, are like 10 cents, a couple cents higher than Quick Trip, and I feel like that's unwarranted. Pump and Munch has the best customer service you have, best prices you'll ever see. Decent prices for a gas station, obviously. So, sponsored by Nina Pump. This episode is brought to you by Nina Pump and Munch. Owner Jake Lamb, dear friend, great boss. Yes, I've been working there for a year. Awesome. Some of you kids here, you should apply. Great place to work. All right, let's get into it. We're going to talk to Cal Klezmit here. I'm going to get him on here, and let me see if he's by his phone like I told him to. And it should be great interview. His cousin Eli was actually pretty really good last time, so Cal. Come on, Cal, don't let me down, dude. All right, we have Nina, 2023 guard, star guard for the Nina Rockets and the Lee Rubbis' team, Cal Klezmit. Cal, can you hear me, man? Cal? Cal, can you hear me?
Yes, for a
All
second.
right, all right, all right, all right. I was getting a little worried there. All right, so obviously, we're going to get into your great summer. We're going to get into, all that about the Nina Rockets future basketball team, but I want to talk about this. So obviously, your brother Max is the greatest Nina basketball player I've ever seen. I've seen a lot of great players. I've seen Matt Helt. I've seen Adam Pullman. I've seen Adam Pronchinsky. Just kidding. He wasn't very good, but okay. But yeah. So just let's get right off the bat. Did you ever feel any pressure being, Max's brother? Because, Max, obviously, after that junior season, he was kind of the big dog in Nina High School. So you ever feel any pressure coming into high school, knowing that, he's my brother, but I gotta play my own game?
There wasn't really any pressure. I mean, obviously people sought out to be that I would have pressure, but I kind of took it a different way. My mentality was, I'm not going to be as good as him, people sort of say, but I'm going to be the best person I can be,
Yeah, because here's the thing about you and Max is it's not like you're copying your brother's game. You two actually have very different play styles. Max is a pure scorer. You can kind of do it all. You can shoot from anywhere. You can pass better than any guard I've seen. Even better than, Steve Nash. I've seen him play, and your passes are just better. I'm gonna be honest. But like, so let's talk about your summer. Your stock kind of rose after this summer. You had a great season for the Blizzard, and just tell me how did it all sort of come together, or did you know that you were this type of player coming into the summer, or was there just a lot of improvement?
I just trusted the work, and I knew I put in the work. I knew I had it. And before the summer, you know, I was ranked because I would say Max, you know, I'm the younger brother.
Oh, yeah.
Would see me play, but, you know, they're going to rank me because I'm his younger brother.
Oh, yeah,
because,
you know, prep hoops, they said you were going to be starting this year for the team, and obviously you weren't playing until the end of the season. The name helps. We'll just admit that.
To deny that, you know, of course it helps. Of course, some colleges are going to look at me because they recruited Max, you know. And
yeah.
I'm not going to, you know, that's just respect to Max, you know, game recognized game. I'm not going to take that away from him. But, you know, now that people are starting to watch me, they're starting to realize what I have. And, you know, I just feel like it's just a target on my back, so one to say.
Oh, yeah, of course. So going into the season could be very different. There could be no fans. There could be, you know, you guys could be wearing masks on the court for all I know. I mean, it could be very different. So just tell me, like, do you feed off the crowd? Because most likely there's going to be no fans in the stands, at least for a while. Do you feed off the crowd when you're playing the game?
It's hard to, you know, really, the crowd does give a lot of noise, all that, but really the momentum comes within the team. You know, if one person's hitting shots, I'm going to trust my team to be loud. The bench, you know, it's going to be huge from the bench this year, given meaning their energy, their noise with no fans. We're going to have to communicate a lot. So, yeah, it's going to suck, you know, because the student section, you know, I think we have one of the best student sections in the state.
I'm going to stop you there, Cal. I disagree. I think we could be a whole lot better, and trust me, I'll be changing that eventually. I will be changing that.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying now that, you know, maybe the past seniors, Max is great, 2020, you know, they weren't as good, but now we're bringing new guys. We're bringing the Argos. So, you know,
oh, yeah.
The top two student section leaders maybe ever to come through the
school. Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah. Hey, for the listeners that don't know, Nick Arglehead may be one of the more legendary student section calls. I believe it was a game against Appleton West in the greasy Appleton West gym. And he, one time, I think it was Matt Reeder or something, he had a bucket and they just said that it's too easy, you know, the classic. And then Nick just says, you know what, let's go out on a limb here and say, just like your mom. Nick got called to the office the next day. It was pretty crazy. But, you know, I feel like we need some more of those bold calls. I think... You really need to go dick out. Just say, I'm gonna whip it out, and I'm just gonna say, go. Just let your voice be heard. Just fuck the WIA. Exactly. WIA. Those guys won't make lacrosse a WIA sanctioned sport. Fuck them. All right. So now going into the season, let's look at the squad. Obviously, I think Lee Rubbis is one of the best coaches in the state. The guy can just flat out get the most. The guy can flat out make. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, all those great coaches, they watch the show. So I don't want to make him feel bad, but Lee Rubbis is, I think he's the best coach in the state for sure. Now, he maximizes the most out of his talent. Now, can you give me, just throw out some names that you, obviously you and Jake Dietz and perhaps Ice Emery are going to be the guys, but can throw out some names that are just like, you know, these guys could really step it up and have potential, you know, like, just throw them out. All
right, so I'm going to start off easy. My cousin, Eli Schmidt.
Oh, I agree.
We go to the gym every day together. We put in the work, you know.
He's dunking now.
He's got the size. He's got the build. So I feel like he could have a very good season for us, help us either off the bench starting, you know, nobody knows. But, you know, he's for sure worked for his spot in the rotation.
Oh, yeah. And how about J.J. Piter? I think he's got a lot of potential, you know, with his size and his ability to handle the ball. What about him?
How tall is he?
6'6". He's still growing.
Right. 6'6 and still growing. So you're going to, of course, play a guy who's 6'6 and also can stretch the floor. You know, you don't see a lot of guys in high school that are 6'6 can stroke it as much good as he can.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then obviously you got Charlie Wolfgram spotting up in the corner. So
right.
I feel. Oh, yeah. I think you guys. People think that Max is, you know, him leaving is going to have put a huge dent in the team. It might. You know, the game plan is going to change. We don't – obviously this year, I mean, I think Jake Dietz could potentially win player of the year, but I don't think he's the guy that Max was in terms of just ISO ball that Max could do. So the game plan's going to change. You'll run it through Dietz, you know, with you leading the charge. But I think with Max, Max could just do it all in terms of scoring the ball. So it's going to change, but I think this team still has a lot of potential, and I'm sure you agree.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, now we got to talk about BFL here. Now I am criticized for I'm one of those guys in BFL that just that puts his heart out on the field. I'm not the biggest guy. I just watch Aaron Rodgers and I try to emulate it. Now I get hated on for being a quarterback, and I'm just like, hey, I'm just trying to play my game. Now you obviously one of the better players in BFL. You can obviously sling the rock down the field, but just tell me, is there anything about, me as a quarterback that you like and you don't like?
First things first, the heart. I love the heart.
Oh yeah.
Of course,
Gotta have heart.
Obviously, maybe one of the shortest guys out there, the Argos.
Yeah.
But one thing you can't take away from the Argos is the heart, the fight, just the grit from those two.
Yeah.
Never giving up on the play. Just,
Yeah.
If you pick them, just know that you're getting 100% every damn play.
Oh yeah, you aren't getting a JJ Pyter walking off the field after in the first half of the game.
Right. One thing I maybe don't like about you is the arm strength. It's not gonna, maybe. Yeah. My comparison to you is a Drew Brees.
I
a 5-yard slant to your receivers and have the receiver.
Okay, don't disrespect me with Drew Brees' legs, though. I can run the football. I was called Lamar. I was called Lamar Bruce once.
I would say Drew Brees' arm was maybe vintage Rodgers.
Okay, all right, yeah. I'd agree. I think some might call you, Steve Young. Obviously you're left-handed and you can still run the ball. Yeah, baby Vic. I think there's just mutual respect between us. I don't think we're going to be playing on Friday due to COVID protocols, and that sucks. But those things will happen. Now, one word answer. In the next 2 years of Neenah High School, and until I'm gone, will there be a gold ball in that trophy case? I like that, Cal. I like that. And I guarantee you, Rubbis is going to be listening to this. He liked my tweet, and I'm gonna say, Rubbis, you're going to get us that gold ball, kid. I know you will.
Can't let you down. Can't let you boys down. Hey,
of course, of course. I'll be tweeting about you the rest of the way, getting even more publicity. Eventually, Coach K will become calling me. I got Coach K on my contacts. I'll put a good word in for you. All right, Cal. That was a great interview, kid. I hope you have a great night, and hopefully see you soon.
All right, Bruce.
All right, see ya. Yep. Man, that was a great interview. The thing that I love about the Neenah Rockets basketball team is they got a lot of attitude. Cal is very. I think he's very flamboyant on the hardwood. He does. He likes to feed off the crowd. I feel like he's not really speaking the truth. I think the crowd definitely does give him a lot of intensity. When he was getting called, he's a freshman. He told me he loved those chants, and that gave him a lot of heart. So, yeah, it was tough for him. Freshman playing on varsity, he appeared in playoff games, and he appeared in that big game against Kimberly, and he played a hell of a game, and hats off to that guy. He's going to be great. All right, so we're going to take a little break here. And we'll get to the next segments that I was talking about. Steve Levy, Matt LaFleur, and Carson Wentz. All right, we're back. The reason I have to take those breaks is because these episodes from my computer, they only go till 30 minutes, so I kind of have to split them up. But that's why we're taking those breaks, and that's why we get all those ads. Yeah, I'm kind of stretching. Got a lot of ad revenue, and it's only getting better. It's only getting better. Eventually, Bill Gates will be calling my name. And saying, Juice, we need that more publicity. Hey, Bill, I don't know if you need it, but if you do need it, I'm happy to help. All right, let's get into Monday Night Football. So, I got to tell you, ever since John Gruden left the booth, things have just gone downhill. I mean, I was never a fan of Sean McDonough after he replaced Mike Tirico, and I was never, ever a fan of Jason Witten. He was pretty awful. And then after that, it's like just think about this here. So we went from John Gruden and Mike Tirico, who, in my opinion, is the greatest duo for announcing any football game. I think, obviously, Collinsworth and Michaels, they got an argument, and Nance and Romo, while it's been short-lived, Romo's talent as an announcer cannot be matched. But Tirico and Gruden, I mean, those guys just were pure entertainment. And then after that, it went McDonough and no, it went McDonough and Witten, and then after that, it was the worst Monday Night Football booth ever. Tessitore and Booger. I mean, you got to be kidding me. That was probably the worst. It made my ears bleed every time I watched football, and I love football, but I could not stand hearing Booger McFarland talk about the most obvious stuff in the world. And even when he was in the Booger Mobile, at least like he was on the screen more. He was on the screen less. Now he's just on the he was on the screen all the time, and I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Might as well boycott ESPN. And then finally they got those two out of there, and now they got Louis Riddick, Brian Griese, and Steve Levy. I mean, Monday Night Football used to be iconic with John Madden and whoever he had in the color guy, whoever he had in the play-by-play guy. I forgot who it was, but here, let me look that up. But yeah, I just find it so bizarre that something as iconic as Monday Night Football could stoop so low to Brian Griese, Steve Levy, and Louis Riddick. Steve Levy, I kid you not, mispronounced it. I mean, he got Robert Tonyan and Malik Taylor mixed up. Malik Taylor's like less than 6 foot, I think. Robert Tonyan's like 6'5". Robert Tonyan's white. Malik Taylor's black. Different jersey numbers, and he still somehow got those two mixed up. I mean, it's just crazy. I don't know how someone does that. And then on top of that, he said Matt Ryan was throwing. He said Matt Ryan completed a pass when it was really Rodgers. I mean, yeah, Levy, realize the green and gold are actually on the field, not the red and white. And then, oh man, Greasy and Riddick, those two just don't give anything in terms of football analysis. I honestly think I could do better, and I've never been great at like pretending to cut. Sometimes if I'm home alone, I'll just pretend to announce the game, and I got to be honest, I suck at it. But Monday Night Football, you got to do better than this. Give Peyton Manning all that he wants. Give Peyton Manning everything to get in the booth. I understand Peyton Manning doesn't want to trash his former teammates, but let's be honest, he hasn't been former teammates with a lot of players that are in the league now. So most of them are retired, and the ones that aren't retired are on like two. He'd only have to do that with two teams. And hey, make it in a contract if he's announcing a former teammate. Just say he's not working that day. I can handle Brian Griese and Louis Riddick for one game, but get Peyton Manning in the booth, please. The guy is just a straight football genius. I mean, you've seen that head. That's 100 pages worth of playbooks right there in that brain. I mean, it's crazy. And then on top of that, Drew Brees retires. Fuck, give him all of his money. Give him all the money that he wants. Just get Steve Levy, Brian Griese, and Louis Riddick out of there. And then also, oh, no, wait. Totally forgot about these guys. Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit. If you want to give them all the money they want to announce college football and Monday Night Football, please do. Kirk Herbstreit is very, very good, and Chris Fowler is also very good. But wow, I mean, I'm seriously thinking about muting the TV whenever that crew is on. It's just Monday Night Football is just a hot mess. It's crazy. All right, now that I got that out of the way, let's talk about Matt LaFleur. Now, last year, I was critical of Matt LaFleur. I always thought that Matt LaFleur got outcoached and just completely. And some of his situational play calling always confused me. You know, on third and short, he's always found the need to run the ball, even though he'd do that against great defensive lines like the Chargers and the 49ers. And, you know, his situational play calling always perplexed me. And then the fact that Kyle Shanahan just found him and just like, yeah, I know exactly what you're doing. And try to stop my offense. And Robert Saleh, his dear friend. And I mean, you watching those games against the 49ers, you wouldn't even think they were friends because Robert Saleh just took the guy to school. Crazy. 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh. And then Doug Peterson, he took. Obviously, LaFleur's offensive game plan was good, but he didn't have the team. And Mike Pettine got absolutely destroyed. I mean, Jordan Howard just ran all over us last year. And Doug Peterson played some very good situational offense. He took the ball out of Carson Wentz's hands and gave it to the running backs. And I don't know if Kenny Clark was hurt that day. It was just an absolute horrendous game from Tyler Lancaster and Dean Lowry, but we got cooked, and even Rodgers was cooking that day, and we still lost. That's just crazy. But and then on top of that, the game against the Chargers, where he, for some reason, had him come in on Friday so they could party and get drunk all night. You know Jair Alexander is probably hitting the clubs. He wasn't prepared for the game, most likely, and all those guys on the defense probably went out. So, obviously, LaFleur needs to know that if they're in Los Angeles for a day, they're going to do that stuff. And he was like, oh, I want to reward them. Don't reward them. We got to win football games. But, man, he has proved everyone wrong. The guy can flat-out coach, because say all you want about the 13-3 team last year. The guy's a career 17-4. 17-4, I think. Maybe not. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, no, definitely isn't. It's like 20-4, something like that. I'd have to look it up. But LaFleur can just flat out coach football. The guy has lost four games in the NFL. No matter how you slice it, four games, losing four games is not a lot, obviously. And he's taken Aaron Rodgers, who was known, or air quotes, known as a jerk, and he just worked with him. And those two have built a relationship that is mutual. I mean, you see them on the sidelines. You see them on the field. They're either joking around with each other or they're yelling at each other, and that's fine. They're yelling at each other, disagreeing over calls. Hey, they'll eventually figure it out. I know they will. Those guys just have a mutual relationship that, hey, we're gonna get through this together. We're gonna get these wins, and that's what they've done as a tandem. And Matt LaFleur, he's a tremendous coach. I mean, look at the offense. They're one of the highest scoring offenses in the league, and I think they are the highest scoring offense in the league, and their yards per game are just off the charts. And Aaron Rodgers is back to his old self, which is also a very valuable aspect to things. I mean, he was with Mike McCarthy for all those years, and I think he was just a broken man, and LaFleur just completely lifted him up and brought him back to the old Aaron Rodgers that we know and love. So LaFleur has done all those things as the Packers head coach, and you gotta applaud him for that. And my opinion, he's a top five coach in the NFL. So with that, we'll take a break and talk about Carson Wentz, and that should be it. All right, final thing to talk about. So I am seen as a guy with somewhat of a low football IQ, or just an idiot for thinking that Carson Wentz is not a shitty quarterback. Listen, people, Carson Wentz was going to win MVP if he hadn't torn his ACL. The guy's been plagued with injuries. I mean, last year, think about it. He was throwing to practice squad guys for half the season. I mean, I've never seen a team like the Eagles. I've never seen a team just fall apart so easily with injuries. His three best O-linemen are hurt. And with those three, they're the best O-line in football. And obviously, Carson Wentz would love that. And his top receivers, Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, Zach Ertz has been banged up. And he just lost all those guys, too, to injuries. And he's throwing to guys like Travis Fulgham, who's on the Packers practice squad. Couldn't even make the team. And he's throwing to Jalen Reagor's hurt. That's another awful injury. Who's the other guy? Greg Ward, who he's actually made to be a somewhat decent player, at least a guy that's known around the league. And then he's throwing to Richard Rodgers, who I didn't even know was still in the league. I mean, the guy is literally known for one catch he made in his entire career. So, yeah, I mean, I'm seeing a guy with low football IQ for thinking that Carson Wentz is a good quarterback. He's obviously regressed as a passer, let's be honest. I mean, those picks are not all on his receivers. In fact, they're not on his receivers. He's making, in that Rams game, he was just making terrible, terrible reads. And, you know, I think he feels defeated as a quarterback somewhat. If they're talking about Jalen Hurts, if the media is talking about Jalen Hurts coming in possibly for him, first of all, that'd be an awful idea, because Jalen Hurts is not ready for the NFL level. The guy wasn't even ready for the college level until his last year in college with Lincoln Riley. You think he's going to go into the NFL and right away just have an immediate impact like he did in college? No, he won't. So do not start Jalen Hurts, because Carson Wentz coming into this season was, in my opinion, an easy top 10 quarterback. You paid him all that money for a reason. The guy carries you to, the guy tries to carry you to wins. I mean, he carried you to the playoffs last year. I know it's the NFC East, but so what? He didn't. I think he did it. I think they would have had a real shot to beat the Seahawks last year if he was healthy. So, and just watch the guy play. The guy can. The guy has a great, great arm. I'd say top 10 arm in the NFL for sure. I mean, you saw that one play. It was called back because of a hold on the defense. It easily could have counted, but you know, they wanted the first down, and if they would have went for the, they would have declined it. Wouldn't have been a. It would have been a fourth down. So Peterson was just like, yeah, take the first down. But he was, the pocket collapsed on him, and he was able to roll out, break a tackle, and throw across the field to an open receiver. I think that was Greg Ward. And those are just the plays I see him make all the time. He makes like Mahomes type throws every once in a while, and he would be able to make them more if he had help. If he just had a competent O line. Jason Peters is always banged up. I said this to my friend Matt. Earlier, we were watching the Eagles game highlights. It was the highlights from the Bengals game, and Jason Peters was, he was on the ground and he was lying down, and it's just a, I told him, I was like, is it just me or every single time I watch the Eagles, Jason Peters is on the ground. He's on the ground and holding something, and then the next thing you know, he's in the MRI. He's 36, give him a break, but he's a decent old lineman on that great line. Brandon Brooks and Lane Johnson are arguably the best of their position, and he doesn't have them. And then on top of that, his best weapon, Zach Ertz, has been banged up this year, and Dallas Goedert obviously hasn't been healthy, and Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, and Jalen Reagor out, and Jalen Reagor showed promise this year of being a great receiver in that first game he played. But yeah, it's just crazy how people just sell their stock on Carson Wentz for God knows why. I mean, watch the guy play. He's still a great quarterback. That throw he made to Travis Fulgham, yes, Travis Fulgham was terrific. He's just a I think Carson Wentz is a great player. Probably not better than Dak right now, just because Dak is, while his team is 0-4, he's throwing for what? He's leading the league in passing yards, and he threw for 500 yards. Well, some of that is garbage. Like, is some of that's late game stuff where, you know, the defense is playing a little off, and he's able to get his passing yards. But hey, he's got him, and I think Dak's playing great football right now. It's that defense that needs some help. The Cowboys' defense is maybe in. I think it's historically bad. That's what I've been seeing. I think they give up another 40-point game. They're going to be the first team in the NFL to give up like four straight 30-plus point games, I think. Crazy. But Carson Wentz, I've always been a fan ever since that MVP season. Like, this guy is special. And he's obviously depleted as a passer, but who wouldn't in that situation? You need weapons. I mean, there's only a few guys in the NFL, like, I think there's only three guys in the NFL that could succeed with those types of players that he's throwing to. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and Patrick Mahomes, because Aaron Rodgers proved it. Aaron Rodgers proved it last night. He was throwing to Malik Taylor and Darius Shepard, and he still had a terrific game. Russell Wilson has proved it in past years. You know, there was a time where Jacob Hollister was his best weapon when Tyler Lockett's been out, and he still managed to find success. And I think we can all agree that Patrick Mahomes is just talented enough to overcome that talent. He hasn't shown it because the Chiefs have just a terrific lineup on offense, but I think we could all tell. But I think those three have completely separated themselves from the NFL in terms of quarterback play. And, yeah, but Carson Wentz, guy gets unnecessary hate. He's a great player. And to beat the 49ers with that, with those receivers, pretty special. All right, that looks like we're good for the episode. See you next week, Tuesday. Stay safe, stay healthy, keep your grades up, and you'll be fine. Chance, take us out.
Thirsty, trying to choose. I mean, I know I'm pretty cool. My nitty bag, my kitty boots. I got the juice, I got the juice.
Geno, Chatham's on. Foolie's glad I'm on. Even my haters kinda glad I'm on. Rest in peace to my